Home to Hope on the Beach Church. We are glad you're here. You know as well as I do, you've entered a no judgment zone. We say it every week. So that means you're free to worship as you like. You can sit, stand, raise hands, clap hands. Just keep a smile on your face. Let God love on you a little bit today. All right? We're so glad you're here to be a part of what we do. You're important to us, and we don't always get to connect with you in person, so that's why there's a connection card in your bulletin. We'd ask you to fill out the front of it with some contact info. We love to know where folks come from, how you found out about Hope. Just give us a way to connect with you in case we don't meet you personally, and we'll collect those at the end of the service. All right. So we are glad you're here. We're celebrating Epiphany. And so let's come before the Lord and let's worship our Father, Son, and our Holy Spirit together. Let's stand and worship together.
The first Noel, the angels did sing, was deserted for shepherds in fields as they lay. In fields where they keep in sheep on a cold winter's night. That
in the church singing hymns, and I love hymns, and here's why I love hymns. They give such great theology about God. So as we sing hymns, as we sing these hymns, what we're doing is we're ingesting those words about who God is. And what our hopes is we sing these hymns of Christmas chorus or Christmas hymns. What I hope is that as we ingest these words, it would cause us to worship the God who saves. Amen. So would you sing this with me? What child is this?
What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is he, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds are keeping. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son. Son of Mary. Nail's spear shall pierce him through, the cross he bore for me, for you. Hail, hail, the Word made flesh, babe, the Son of Mary. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him love, the babe, the Son of Mary. Bring him incense, gold and myrrh, come peasant king to own him. The King of Kings salvation bring, let loving hearts enthrone him. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Man.
Sing that again.
This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Man.
Thank you, Patrick. Let's pray again. Father, we thank you
for the opportunity to be here in your house. We thank you for a chance to come to your presence and to hear your word. We thank you for the celebrations we've enjoyed about your birth and how you have come to be with us. And we thank you for the sacrifice upon the cross. And today we pray that you will speak to our hearts about the importance of our spiritual growth and our growing to be like you. Bless us with your word. Bless all that have gathered here. We are grateful for their presence and ask you to speak to their hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. It's good to have you in the house with us today. And my name is Steve. I am the director of ministries here at Hope on the Beach Church. And it's my privilege today to actually open our new series. We're launching a brief series, it's about 3 weeks, leading up to life groups on Hosea. And so we're talking about being grounded in God's grace. So I have a question for you before we dive into the deeper stuff. You know, I always like to have a laugh now and then. So my question for you is, how's the diet going you started January 1st? That working out for you? Or the exercises you said you were going to do come January 1st? In other words, most resolutions, they don't hold up, do they? In fact, there's actually research that says most resolutions die out between January 9 and 15. So some of you got a week. Hang in there. But for most of us, it's in the rearview mirror already. And but we felt better saying it. You know, we set a goal. But what happens sometimes is when that happens to us, we feel like we failed. And we're not happy with ourselves. But the same approach seems to carry over to spiritual growth, to our becoming like Christ. We make these pledges. I'm going to read the Bible through. I'm going to pray every day, at least once a week. I'm going to share the gospel with some. We have all these commitments that we like to make, thinking they are going to bring us spiritual growth. But today I want you to recognize that that's not true. That the key to remember is that many times we have things backwards. We think that if we do godly things, if we try to do what we think God wants us to do, if we pour ourselves into the disciplines of the Christian life, God is going to be pleased with us. And we are working to get His blessing. But that's backwards. We don't do those things in order to be blessed. We do them because we are blessed. We do them because we are grounded in God's grace. God has come to us and has poured His grace upon us, and so we then serve Him. It's not the other way around. So, for those of you that are being too harsh on yourself because you feel like somehow you should be spiritually further along, you should be deeper in your walk with the Lord, I hope that today's message will help you recognize that God brings the growth through His grace on the inside of our lives. He changes us. He brings the growth. It's not something that we get on ourselves. And we're going to use the young life of Jesus as an example. We're going to go back to His debut, if you will, in the temple. His parents were following the law and knew they needed to bring Him to the temple after their period of purification. Let's read this together. Luke chapter 2, verse 21. And at the end of 8 days, when He was circumcised, He was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before He was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought Him up to Jerusalem to present Him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So they came to the temple, Mary and Joseph. Verse 22 tells us they brought Him to present Him to the Lord. Now, they didn't bring Him to the temple to show off the baby. They didn't present Him to the Lord as if to say, look how lucky you are, God. We have a son that you can use. They weren't there to brag on Jesus. They weren't there because Jesus had done something outstanding. He was only 8 days old. They didn't bring Him to brag. They didn't bring Him to show off. They were simply there to recognize the truth that this child belongs to God. They were there to present him and to say to the Father, our son belongs to you. That's the beginning of Jesus' spiritual journey. You see, he was, number one, grounded in grace. And letter A, belonging always comes before becoming. Jesus had a long ministry ahead of him. He had a lot of growth to go through. But first, he had to recognize who he belonged to. Many in their Christian walk miss first base. I don't know if you will remember the name McGuire, the big home run hitter for St. Louis Cardinals, who broke the home run record for about a day and a half. I think those things don't stay long. But McGuire, when he hit, I think it was his 70th home run of that season, there's a great clip of it as he has hit that and admiring it a little bit. That's fair. But in doing so, he missed first base. And his coach had to call him back and tell him to tag first base. Now, if you know anything about baseball, you know that no matter how far you hit the ball, if you don't tag all the bases, you're out. And so McGuire almost missed the celebration of his 70th home run by missing first base. Now, what happens in the Christian faith is that many times people come into the church because somebody's told them that's a good thing to do, and they ought to be in church. And so they begin a spiritual journey. They begin coming into the church. They begin listening to messages. They begin maybe even getting in a life group, and they talk about godly things with other believers. But oftentimes, they miss first base. You see, we can't become like Christ until we recognize we belong to Christ. So we first must present ourselves to him, respond to his call as he reaches into our life, as he draws us to him. We talk about opening hearts. We have to open our spiritual side so we can receive what God has for us. And so belonging always comes before becoming. I can't be like God if I don't first belong to God, because it is God who makes me like him. One of the messages out of this message today is for you to relax. Recognize that God is doing a work in your life, and you need to just rest in him. He said, come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden. In other words, you come to me, all of you who are tired, who are wore out, who are striving for something. Hey, you come to me, and I will give you rest. Because my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So, excuse me. So come and let me give you rest. Let me give you growth. Let me bring you close to me and bring you to be like me. So we often get to working on growth when we really need to let the growth work on us. So they come to the temple, and we see in verse 30 where Simeon says, "My eyes have seen your salvation." He had promised the Lord he didn't want to die. He asked the Lord to let him live long enough to see the salvation for Israel. He wanted to see the Messiah. And when they walked in with Jesus, he knew. And he said, "My eyes have seen the salvation." Anna was a prophetess in the temple, and she, in verse 38, also recognized who Jesus was. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. You see, grace always produces worship before results. We fall before the Lord. We worship the Lord. It's a little ironic that our Redeemer comes to the temple as an infant to be redeemed. He is brought there to be presented to the Lord so that later he could redeem us. You see, it's important that Jesus grew. Look in verse 40 there. "And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him." The favor of God was upon him. We heard this term first with Mary, his mother. "You are highly favored." And now we see that on Jesus, he has the favor of God. Can I give you some good news this morning? You have the favor of God. He loves you. He likes you. He wants you to be with him, to follow him, to be like him. And he's willing to bring that into your life. In fact, Jesus began to grow and become strong in this favor of God. But it's interesting to recognize 90% of Jesus' life is not recorded for us. We lose him at 12, like his mom and dad almost did in the temple. We hear about the temple story at age 12. And he shows up again, launching an open ministry at age 30. And for 3.5 years, he only taught about the kingdom of God. He challenged people to experience God's love. And finally, went to the cross. You see, God's greatest work often happens quietly, slowly, and over time. That's why I want you to be patient today. That's why I want you to cut yourself some slack before you become too judgmental about your own progression in Christ. I want you to recognize that God is doing the growth, and it sometimes is quiet, it is sometimes slow, and it takes time. Our children didn't jump out of the crib and grow a beard. Hopefully. It takes time. Growth takes time. Sometimes we had to teach lessons to our children more than once. They didn't get it the first time. And we have children that grow at different paces. Some of them got it right away. And some of them, we're still hoping they get it. It happens. Growth doesn't come the same for everybody. And growth, God's growth in our life is often quiet, slow, and over time. We may not even recognize it. I had a young couple at a former church. The wife came to see me one day and she said, I just have one question for you. I said, okay. She said, you know, we came forward and we committed our life to Christ and we want God to have full control. I said, yes. And she said, I don't understand what's happening. We used to go out with all of our friends almost every Friday night. And we closed many of the places down. And she said, and suddenly in the last couple of weeks, we don't want to go. We're making excuses to not go. What's happening? And I can remember kind of laughing a little bit and grinning and saying, you're getting an answer to your prayer. I said, see, you came into your faith thinking now there's going to be a lot of things required of you. You're going to have to make a lot of changes. You're going to have to memorize stuff. You're going to have to dress different, look different. And the reality is, you just have to wait. Because God is changing you from the inside out. And things that your flesh wanted to do, His Spirit doesn't want to do. It comes quietly, can come slowly. You may not even recognize it. You just suddenly have a hunger to read His book that you maybe didn't have before. You find yourself praying more. You may have accidentally bragged on Jesus to somebody. And you're wondering, where did that come from? God is changing us. The growth comes from the inside out. And it comes sometimes slowly. You see, letter D, growth flows from grace, not striving. It's not about working harder. It's not about learning more. It's not academic. Now, yes, should we read the Bible? Of course we should. Should we talk to the Lord in prayer? Absolutely. But those things will become an appetite for us as Christ gives us grace. We don't strive for it. We receive it. You see, when grace becomes the soil of our lives, growth becomes not a burden, but a gift. Growth isn't something that I have to beat myself up about. I don't have to constantly deny myself of things that I like to do. If they're wrong for me, God will begin to change my desire. God will begin to change me. And I won't want the same things I've always wanted. I won't do the same things I've always done. You see, growth is not about speed. That's why we give up on diets and on exercise. Because if you're like me, I gave up a cookie yesterday, and then I'm standing in front of the mirror seeing if this bad boy's going down in it. It ought to. I gave up a cookie. And after about 2 days, it hadn't gone down. Forget it. I'm going back to cookies. We think that growth should come at a fast pace. Growth should hurry up and get here. And in reality, spiritual growth is not about speed. Get this. It's about depth. It's not about getting there in a hurry. It's about going deep. It's about knowing Christ in a deep way. And so the question that we should ask ourselves is, am I rooted deeply enough in grace to grow at God's pace? Letter F. Am I rooted deeply enough in grace to grow at God's pace? You see, I continue to walk in God's grace and let Him do the work in my life. In His timing. He knows me better than anybody. He created me just like I am. And He knows how I learn best. He knows how long it'll take me to get certain understandings in my life. And He is patient with me. He's always teaching. He's always shaping. But He is patient. And so we see that first, our growth is grounded in grace. It's not our own effort. It's not us doing always the right things. But it's leaning on God. You see, Jesus had a pace to His growth. The scripture, as far as recording His life, does jump from age 12 to age 30. But all along the way here at age 12, we have seen how the child grew and became strong, how he grew in wisdom and the favor of God and man. We are told that he was steadily growing. We needed Jesus to grow in His Father's will, in His Father's understanding. We needed Him to grow so that He could then stand in our place. You see, when we come up short, God's righteousness stands in our place. He stands there for us. He's in the gap for us. So it was important for Him to grow at God's pace. And so why would it be any different for us? So growth is grounded in grace. Now, what does healthy growth look like? Well, let's see. We've got them listed for us right here. First of all, healthy growth is rooted in grace, not pressure. The favor of God was upon him, verse 40 says. And our growth is rooted in grace, not pressure. We're not being manipulated. We ought not manipulate ourselves. We ought not guilt trip ourselves or one another. I know that the church, many churches, through history and perhaps even still today, one of the greatest tools from the pulpit is guilt tripping. Pastors love to make people feel bad about their behavior. They want to manipulate them. They want to challenge them by guilt tripping. That's not true spiritual growth. Growth is not about pressure. Growth is not about being made into something. Growth is about internally changing, going deeper with Christ, and letting His attributes, His attitudes, His speech, His thoughts, letting them become mine. That's not something I can do from the outside. That's something God gives me on the inside. John 15, Jesus said, "Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you." You're already clean. You have the word within you. It's not about pressure from the outside. It's about letting the inside grow. And that growth, letter B, happens in ordinary faithfulness. See, we need to be careful that we don't misjudge the importance of being faithful in the ordinary things. It matters that you're in worship on a regular basis with the Lord and with your fellow partners in the ministry. It's important. That's just ordinary faith. You say, "Oh, you know, it doesn't hurt once in a while to miss." Oh, I understand the sentiment. And I admit we are going to miss on occasion, but don't say it doesn't matter, because it does matter. In fact, the Bible tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Don't give it up. Don't skip it. You say, "Well, it's kind of ordinary. Services seem the same every week." Yeah, but it's about being faithful. It's about faithfully reading the scriptures, faithfully praying. You may think, we oftentimes get the idea that our spiritual growth comes from magnificent events. Maybe a particular message really rang our bell. Man, we got lit up by that today, and we feel like we've really grown spiritually because of that message. But then the next week, it's not so dynamic. It didn't ring our bell. We had other things in our head, and we tend to think it wasn't important. But the fact is, the ordinary things in our lives produce growth. Just acts of kindness, words of encouragement, picking somebody up when they're down, ordinary things, showing our faithfulness, because God is faithful to teach us, to groom us, to shape us. And He does so in some of the most ordinary ways. Oh, He always does them too in some of the extraordinary ways. But we don't always have to be experiencing a mountaintop experience to grow in Christ. The letter C reminds us that healthy growth forms us before God sends us. Here at Hope, I think by now you know, we have discipleship huddles. This is a 6-week cut out of your calendar, 1 hour a week, to sit with 4 or 5 others and explore the characteristics of a true disciple, someone who deeply follows Christ. And we offer these all through the year. I would encourage every one of you to get in one, take one. Because we explore then what a disciple looks like, how a disciple behaves. We follow that up with a missionary huddle. There's a reason they're in that order. Because after God forms us, He sends us. And that's what the missionary huddle is about. Learning how to be sent. Recognizing opportunities in our very ordinary lives to be a missionary for the Father. And so it's important to recognize that we not get ahead of the Lord, that we don't press for spiritual growth, that we make ourselves, that we don't determine how spiritual we are. I get a kick out of folks that I have met through my life who have a tremendous spiritual ego. Have you ever met anybody like that? That they truly believe they know everything there is to know about being a believer. And they want to tell you, and they want to judge you, and they want to force you to be like them. Now, my experience has been that oftentimes those folks know a great deal about the Bible, but they don't seem to know a great deal about Christ. They don't know how to live for Him. They don't know how to let Him shine. They're about putting themselves forward. And you see, we have to be careful not to get ahead of God, hear of an opportunity at church, and think, oh, I could do that. Yeah, but does God want you to do that? Has He shaped you? Are you ready to go and do? Too many times, we are formed and ready. We are shaped. And we're perfect for it, but we don't want to go. That's going to cost too much, take too much time, work me too hard. Heard a preacher say one time that in the course of one 30-minute message, I'm just about there, in one 30-minute message, we can hear something that pricks our heart and we're like, yes, I can do that. And as the message goes on, we begin to think of all the things that would hinder us from doing that. And by the end of the 30-minute message, we've talked ourselves out of it. So we committed and uncommitted in one experience. We do that a lot. But we need to lean upon the fact that if God forms us, He's ready to send us. And we need to look for the opportunities. Healthy growth includes waiting and mystery. You see, when Mary and Joseph heard Simeon, verse 50 says they did not understand what he meant. They heard him say, I've seen the salvation of Israel. They heard him say, you can call your servant home. I can go now. Well, it's nice of you to tell God when you're ready to go. But they didn't get it. They didn't understand what all he was talking about. And it took them waiting. When Mary pondered all those things in her heart, she was just hanging on to them until she could understand them. Sometimes our growth requires us to wait. You see, growth doesn't always mean that we understand God's ways. It doesn't mean that we always know what comes next. We don't. Sometimes our growth is just about trusting. And sometimes that trusting is without explanation. I'm just going. When I was in college, I had a poster hung in my dorm room that I kept it for several years. I really liked the message of it. And it said, when I come to the end of the light and am ready to step into darkness, God will either give me solid ground or wings to fly. I've never forgotten that. And there have been plenty of times in my life when I came to the end of the light and I still had to take a step. And I would remember, God's got me. I don't understand, but God's got me. Trusting without explanation. Sometimes growth is obedience without certainty. I'm just going to obey the Lord because He said so. I don't know what it's going to mean. I don't know what it's going to cost. And sometimes growth is waiting without answers. I've said it before. Pastor Jason has said it. And we believe it with all our heart. God's never early, but He's never late. It's His timing. Your spiritual growth is His timing. Lastly, spiritual growth is steady, not rushed. You see, again, it's not about speed. It's not about a day without cookies, and I ought to have a flat stomach. Doesn't work that way. It's not about one prayer today, and God's going to turn me into one of the greatest missionaries to ever live. No. It's about progress. It's about the word in Luke 2:52. Increase. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. It's not about the speed. It's about the depth. I want to go deep with Christ. And that may take some time. That may take a lot of shaping. May take a lot of forming. But in His timing, He'll do it. He'll do it. I just need to trust Him and not get frustrated or discouraged because it seems like it's taken the Lord a long time. Here's our memory verse. Says it beautifully. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. That's a great word, abide. Means I'm just hanging. I'm in the Lord. I'm waiting on Him. I'm trusting Him. And I am completely in His hands. May I say to you this morning in closing, it's the desire of your staff here at Hope that you grow in your faith. that you go deep, that you become more and more like Christ. That's our heart, is for that to happen for you. And so I encourage you to trust the Lord and remember you're grounded in His grace. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for grace, for how it can change our lifestyle, how it can change our will, how it brings us growth. We pray, Father, that we might indeed be close to you today, closer than yesterday, because of trusting in your grace. Thank you for your good news and your love. In Jesus' name. Now let's pray as we've been taught. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. God bless you.
Thanks, Steve, for that word. For those of you who have anxiety right now because there's three blanks in your bulletin, let me help you real quickly here. Here's the three reflection questions. Where are you living under pressure instead of grace? Where are you striving, not resting? Where you're not being in that relationship, where you're just resting in that grace? I mean, that's what God gave us, a Sabbath, a day of rest, right? It's a day, a reminder of grace that we can rest, that we are in His favor. B, what ordinary faithfulness is God using to shape you? Like, don't dismiss the little things that you do that are shaping you, that are like God is using in your life. And that includes, don't dismiss, like, you know, little prayers, little disciplines, little daily routines, but also don't dismiss failures. Failures are learning opportunities. God is a God of redemption. He redeems those, and He uses those in shaping you. And then, are you trusting God's pace, right? Are you on your agenda or God's agenda? We just prayed that. God, your will be done on earth as in heaven. He gives you grace for a human pace. Surrender, and He will raise you up. So with that, we're going to continue in that grace. You know, one of the opportunities we have in our worship is in our tithes and our offerings. And I know for me, this is one of the places that, man, when you understand it comes from grace and this is an opportunity we have, but this is a place of incredible growth. Like, you want to know where to trust God and not know where things are going to happen, how things are going to happen in your life? It's just that daily obedience of just trusting His word and doing that regularly. You start seeing God more. God show up. God make your money go further. God provide in ways you didn't even plan on it. And it's all in response because, man, you've just been like doing the ordinary thing. And somehow in that ordinary thing, God keeps doing extraordinary things. So I want to give you that encouragement, whether you use the offering envelope, the text to give, or use the QR code, all those are easy ways to give and secure. Also in your worship folder is that connection card. We want to get you to turn to the back side of the white connection card, have an opportunity to share. If you want to, like we talked about those discipleship classes he talked about, just click that. We'll follow up with you and help you with the call disciple, or maybe you're ready for the missionary pathway huddle, either one of those huddles. That's what those discipleship check mark is. Also, we have some opportunities. I saw that partnership is a way to get connected and involved more. So there's two different offerings for that. You can take a look at that. We have our life groups coming up, and there's a great information about that. But I know that many of you, probably like me, have never taken a really great deep dive in Hosea. Maybe a few of you. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to be fun. Not just fun. It's going to be just awakening of the amazing things that are going on there that are important to us today. And I'm really excited about it. And then also, then we have the men's and women's ministry get opportunities to connect. So hope you'll be able to join in, and we just invite these to great gifts, great environments that you can be around and experience God's grace and help you grow and be more and more Christ-like with Him here at Hope. So with that, we're going to continue our worship. As we do, you're welcome to bring your offering and your connection cards and just put them in the offering plate either side as we lift them up in with our voices.
In all of their beauty, I don't have to wonder. You know what you're doing. Why would I worry at all? You're faithful.